Good afternoon. Today is Friday, July the 5th, 189th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Eureka City Manager. He'll tell us everything. Bill Panos.
Hello.
That meek little voice from the corner of the room. Hello. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the 4th of July, as this was Bill and Michelle's first one here. General impressions, what you like, what didn't you like, what was impressive, and whatnot. And we'll talk a little bit about, obviously, we've got budget. We've also got the police chief. But what I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about is backgrounds. What happens? How extensive? Why is it as extensive? Why isn't it more extensive? Some of the questions that are asked, all that kind of stuff, because I don't think a lot of us know what some of those things are that some of the department heads, either at the cities or the counties, what they go through before they get appointed. So it seems kind of to be a timely topic, and we'll see if we can time right into it when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Panos. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Harold Geenan, American businessman, sometime between 1910 and 1997. Said, "Quote, what's Y2K? No, he said, leadership is practiced not so much in words as in attitude and actions."
I think that's an excellent quote.
Oh, with your delay there, I thought you were a little concerned.
Not at all.
Okay. So this was your first 4th of July in the neighborhood. What'd you think?
Oh, I thought it was remarkable. I was at the festival, the 4th of July festival, the event down on in Old Town. And Charlotte McDonald and her team at Main Street and all of the community volunteers and all the business owners did a remarkable job creating a great community fair for our community, but also from people all over the country. I mean, there were people I met from New Jersey, people from Illinois, people from Iowa.
Did they just take wrong turns?
They were all visiting our region and at this great time. And so that was fun. And then they had a wonderful summer concert series event through the afternoon and early evening. And then fireworks starting right on time at 10 p.m. And the weather was perfect for them. And
yeah,
with
that?
I know.
The tradition here is to see it go up in the fog and disappear.
Well, that didn't
not
happen.
Not to see the explosion.
That didn't happen last night. It was a well-timed and well-coordinated event, and the community loved it. And I thought it was very impressive, and I was very impressed. And I can't wait to do this again next year.
You're going to wander over to Arcata next year?
No, we're going to be right here, along with our
comparison contrast. Okay, fine.
No, along with our city employees who volunteered to help, and all of the folks, community folks that helped to help put it together. They just did a remarkable job.
I have to wait almost a full month to get down here. We were over at my folks' place and out by the golf course, and we drove in, so we could kind of see Arcata on one side and you on the other.
Yeah.
People were parking, not on the Samoa bridges, but in between and walking out onto the roadway. No lights, and I saw three near hits. It says emergency parking only. I'm not sure if fireworks qualify as emergency, unless there's some going off in the back seat. Gotcha. But as far as view stuff.
Yeah, from the city of Eureka perspective, we didn't have many incidents last night. People were being well-behaved. I mean, there were a few, but
It was in Myrtletown, not in the city.
There were.
We saw like 8 or 10 of them just woo 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 woo, all at the, you know, just one after the other.
There were a few incidents.
Yeah.
But for the most part, people were well behaved and they did a great job. So it was a memorable event, and I enjoyed it very much.
Nice that it's memorable and not memorial. Just to have a good time. Do other communities do that kind of thing, Bill? I mean, you know, we mentioned Arcata. They've got theirs. Eureka's got theirs. Fortuna had theirs on Wednesday evening. Is this something that you, Brookings, I know, had theirs yesterday also in Crescent City. Is this something that's just on the coast or coastal cities, or with some of the other communities you guys have been in and through on the 4th, is this pretty much something that happens in every community?
Yeah, I mean, we see it everywhere, inland, over the water, on the coast. We were just talking about Boston and its event. It's a world-famous event. A lot of times, these events are sponsored by benefactors. The one in Boston and in many communities, there's an individual that's deciding that is the thing that they are going to give back to the community, is that one day, that one evening. And oftentimes in smaller communities, that's the case. In our community, it's a grassroots effort led by a number of people. Again, I mentioned Charlotte McDonald at Main Street, but also Mike Jones and some other people in the community that have come together in businesses throughout this community that are giving, you know, 1,000 here, 500 there, 200 there. And they through a grassroots effort, raised the money to be able to put on such an elaborate show as was seen last night. And so we thank all of them for all of their effort and look forward to doing it again next year.
All right, enough of the platitudes.
Sure.
Quick comment about Humble Bay Fire and the non-merge with Arcata Fire.
You know, we are always in a position to help those organizations like Arcata Fire throughout our region, and we do on a regular basis. We have memorandums of understanding. We have mutual aid. I think all of the fire departments do an excellent job of coordinating not only their operations, but coordinating their training and their resources. And so it's needed here. It's needed all over the country, where these organizations that don't have a lot of resources have to share. And they do a great job of that here in the Humboldt Bay region. Oftentimes, they'll get to a point where they actually want to be coordinated. They want to actually do something together, as we have done with the Eureka Fire and Humboldt Bay Fire. And they explore that, and Arcata explored that and decided that they weren't ready for that now. And but we'll always be there for them. And whenever they're ready to do that again or have those discussions, we'll be in a position to be able to talk with them about that, as we do on a regular basis with all of the organizations on operations and equipment and those kinds of things. So we're pretty positive about it. And so we look forward to working together.
It's 3:19.
Sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Panos. Bill, the budget is always one of those, I don't know, mysterious things, I guess, unless you're an accountant. or somebody else with the same personality style. I mentioned that one, Macaulay, one of my buds, is always taking shots at the profession of accounting and the personality. So I'm sure I'll hear about that comment. But you reacted too, so I'll hear it a little bit shorter than over the weekend. A lot of folks don't spend a lot of time looking at budgets. You know, if it's my department, if it's my ox, yeah, I'll look at that one section of it. But as far as reviewing the whole budget, the overall, you know, unless you're paid to do it or you're preparing it, I bet you very few people go through a budget. So we've got this thing called the city budget that's influenced significantly by the state budget, which is influenced by the monstrosity called the federal budget. And everything's connected. Beyond that, most of us go brain dead on this one, unless we hear there's less cops, the streets can't get paved, or there are more cops, and the street is getting paved. Got more fire guys. You know, you hear the change rather than the essence of what this thing is. What would you like people to understand about budget, whether it's a state budget or the local budget, but in concept, the budget?
I guess what I'd want people to understand, one, is that we've recently passed a budget. So the budget for 13-14 has been in place. It was.
It's not like a kidney stone, is it?
Yeah, a little. a little. But the council did a great job this year at getting it through on time. We got it through on time, and they have done that consistently throughout the year. So it was a great effort. They did a great job participating. So did the citizens and our employees and employee groups in putting together the budget. This municipal budget for Eureka is $110 million municipal corporation budget with 275 full-time employees and about 200 part-time and seasonal employees. So it's a fairly robust budget. It is connected to the state and county budgets in a number of different ways, but less and less as the years have gone along, because the state and other entities have really pushed many of those responsibilities, and therefore the funding's gone away, and they push many of the responsibilities into the county and into the cities, into the localities. So there's actually less influence over time by the state and even the Fed than we've seen in the past. So that's one thing I wanted people to recognize, is that as the budgets change at the federal level and state level and they get less, there's less influence that those entities have over municipal local budgets. And so I think that's an important point.
We hear a phrase called categorical funding, which I think stems from state, stems from Fed, stems from special sources. As the state and the Fed are less players with the budget, does that mean that there's less or a shrinking percentage of categorical funding? Or is that the new thing that's kind of replacing the state and the Fed?
You know, we see more categorical funding at the county level than we do at the municipal level. We see a little bit of funding requirements and some control over funding as it relates to grants that we get from the state or the Fed. We have to spend them on certain things in certain ways. Certainly there is state law that looks at our enterprise funding. This is our infrastructure funding, like water and sewer and those kinds of things. They're regulated and have some category to them. But a lot of the categorical funding that you're describing is really found at the county level and not the municipal level.
In the past, with lots of folks, the discussion has been, you know, if the blank just left us alone, gave us the money, didn't give us the categorical funding, we would be so much better off than what we are today. We don't need more money, we need flexibility. So if Department A has savings, that can be shifted over to Department Q, and that would be okay. True or false in today's financial climate?
I mean, partially true. We need more money, certainly, and need to be able to do those things which the community expects us to do. We have a growing needs to our community. The community expects more and should expect more, and we have less and less funding. And so with those two things in opposition, more demand for services and less funding, we always need more funding to do the things that the community expects us to do. And so we're always looking for both flexibility and more funding. And this budget, we've also tried to redesign some of our structures to do that, to do just that, to be able to do more with less. We went from 9 departments and department heads to 7 departments and department heads. We're starting to tighten our belt a bit. We're looking at other things that we can do to make the money go farther that we get. And we'll continue to do that as we move through the years here, and so it's a challenge for us and a challenge for the council to do more with less, and we'll continue to design budgets that do just that.
Not to hang you out, but you've only got 30 seconds, so you can't hang too far on this one.
Okay,
you got the core priorities.
Yep.
Okay. You know, streets, sewer, police, blah 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 blah. Okay. Fire. What would be the one discretionary area if you could have a couple of bucks that you'd love to be able to take care of, just taking care of it?
If I had a large amount of infusion of the waterfront, finish the waterfront, what we've been able to do on the waterfront, we do have a little bit of discretion the council does with its budgets for non-governmental organizations, some of the groups, the community groups that provide services here. So they do have a little discretion, but not much.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
You want hot buys on furniture and appliances? You've got them during Burns Furniture's July Hot Buy Savings Event. Choose your new 7-piece living room group starting at just $899.95. In Burns Sleep Center, the new Serta Eye Comfort mattresses are the latest innovation. Or select your Englander mattress set in twin to king sizes. All with free local delivery and easy financing options. Hot buys on furniture and appliances during July at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Pants. Did you notice my tiger pen? Huh? Pretty snappy looking.
Very handsome.
Yeah, except it's the wrong color. It's more of a zebra pen, but tiger sounds more impressive, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. What is the condition of the zoo from your perspective?
It's good. The zoo, in every community, there is something which one can look at and say, that is the heart of the community. In West Sacramento, where I'm from, it was the River Cats and Raley's Field, our AAA baseball team. Here in Eureka, it's the zoo. It's the heart of our community in many respects.
Do people appreciate the zoo?
Oh, yes. And not only appreciate it, but respect it, participate with it, have memories, family memories, memories with their kids at the zoo. It's a great institution. And like I said, it's the heart of the community.
Can it be properly funded?
Absolutely. It's an important part of our parks and recreation program here. It's an important part of our culture and our legacy, and anything of that stature, of course, can be funded.
I did not get the question prompted from the Zoo Foundation. I just winged that one on my own.
That was a great question.
How about the park next door?
Park's amazing.
On either side.
Yeah, the park's amazing. I just a couple of weeks ago, took the first drive down that long road all the way down to the pond.
You're supposed to walk it.
Well, I drove, and then I parked,
fine.
And then I got out and walked around, and it was, it's like a different world in there.
Isn't
and
it? Yep.
It's really unique. It's something that I've never seen before in all of my travels.
Really?
Something as unique as that. Yeah, it was remarkable. And so we're going to do our best effort over the next few years to ensure that it is maintained properly, that it's always clean, that it's always accessible.
The duck pond will be clean?
Always accessible and and is there not only for our current generations but future generations.
It's interesting down there. I mean, for me, what was that? Probably 40 years ago. You know, in the duck pond, you'd go down there and feed the ducks. It's funny, curious, funny for me to see how emotional people are about the duck pond.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's geese or mallards or whatever is in there, they're either really excited about it and want to dredge the sludge out every 6 months. Or they, geez, you know, maybe I ought to go down there. It's been a couple of decades. and just don't think about the duck pond. Right. It's not advertised at either end. Oh. And you just follow the yellow brick road, and there it is down in the bottom of it.
It's a hidden treasure.
Yeah. Or you hear about it during criminal reports. You can do a little research on that one. Talk to the old guy before you kick him out about the duck pond and some of the history down there. That would be Police Chief Merle Harpham, the old guy. Nice segue.
Oh, you want to talk about the police chief?
Good. What did it take you, about 6 months to get into this thing?
I'm sorry.
You talking to me?
I'm sorry about that.
What is the current status? Is there seems to be a little discrepancy between the situation or the current situation with finding a new hire for the police chief.
So, you know, we're really, really pleased to be moving through this process of hiring a new police chief. It's been a long time coming, and we're looking forward to having a decision. We're at a point right now where we're conducting background investigations, which you mentioned earlier, of police chief candidates. And, you know, the background investigations are very, very thorough, in particular for a police chief. And they involve a number of people, both here in Eureka, in cities where the candidates live. And so we haven't decided yet on a police chief, on a candidate at this point. The city is trying to sort of maintain the integrity of the process, and so we don't want to say too much about it. But, you know, at the end of the day, we want to make the best decision that we possibly can.
How do you know it's the best decision?
When we have listened to the community and listened to the department, listened to the regional law enforcement community and what they're looking for, looked at where the organization is today and where it needs to be, have done our best to design all of that into not just the description of the job and the announcement of the job, but the selection and the filtering of the candidates and by a number of different parties, both here and outside of this area, which we've done, by then, you know, considering each of these candidates and then going, I actually went to the places where they're from to interview the people that they know, then to turn it over to, again, private investigators, both a law enforcement and investigators that are non-law enforcement, civilian investigators, and really look thoroughly at it. When we've done all of that homework, when we've done all of those things, we're probably in the best position to make the right decision.
Say all again.
All.
Okay. I thought I detected a little accent there when you were on your roll.
Like a Southern accent?
No. New England.
Like a New England?
Yeah.
Maybe that's from my time in Boston.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to make sure. KINS, News and Information Times 341. We'll get into what some of the background stuff is when we come back.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka City Manager Bill Panos. Bill, going through the background process and the check process to hire a police chief, I know it's going to sound a little sacrilegious, but do you do the same for a building department? Do you do the same for a finance department? For any of those other departments, would you go through the same degree of research and background checking and making sure that they were a right fit? Lives aren't necessarily in danger if it's a wrong hire, but certainly financially there's a whole lot, and the city culture goes through the same process too. Do you go through that? Would you suggest when you have a opportunity next to use this as the template?
Well, we, in our normal hiring process, go through background investigations, and they are important, and they assure that we have a really good understanding of candidates, and we have law enforcement look at their background In particular, those that come in contact with our younger citizens here in Eureka. But with
so like your Parks and Rec guy.
Yeah.
Gal, you'd want to go through that.
Yeah, very similar to how schools would do it or anything like that. But with law enforcement in particular, with law enforcement officers, sworn officers, non-sworn, and with police chiefs in particular, there is a lot more that is done. And there is a Peace Officers Standards and Training, a California state standard for background investigations for sworn personnel.
So you have to go through post?
A post-certified background investigation.
To hire a chief?
A post-certified background investigation to hire a law enforcement person, including a chief, yes.
So that's not the city's option. That's just what is.
That's what the city does. And that's what most cities do.
Okay.
In this particular case, we have added a civilian background investigator as well, and they are going to work side by side both from both perspectives, from a law enforcement perspective and a non-law enforcement perspective, to assure that our community knows everything about these candidates, that knows about their character as well as their experiences, and that can report that objectively from both of those perspectives back to me so that I can eventually make the best decision possible. And that process is going on right now. So we look forward to their work. They're doing a great job out there. I talk to them all the time, and they're out there doing that now. And so we look forward to hearing from them in a few weeks.
How much additional is it to have the second investigation going on?
Not at all. It's never been done in the history of Eureka to have this kind of a duplicate. This sort of this kind of joint partnered background investigation.
Don't say joint either.
Well, they partner as they go through and are doing it from different perspectives, so they enhance one another. They don't duplicate effort. And it's important that we have that extended reach in terms of a background investigation so we find out the most possible. So we're looking forward to those results. Yeah, and probably the best word for it is a parallel investigation. And
so what are some of the questions these guys will ask the candidates or that you ask? I mean, is it the goofy ones like, you know, Have you stopped beating your wife? Just to see what the reaction, not that one, but you know, the double entendre ones where there's no real answer. To see how they react. Are they very specific? Are they very general? To try to discover what their big picture issues are. Where do you come from with some of the questions for a position?
These evaluations just aren't background investigations to look at their history, their job history. Why did they move from job to job? What is their character? What is their family life like? What kind of experience do they have in the communities that they live? But it's also actually a medical examination, a psychological evaluation. All of those things have to occur during this period of time. And it's very extensive. It's one of the most extensive background investigations that can be done in any employment situation. But in particular, in Eureka's case and in this case, we have these parallel paths that are going on where it's a law enforcement and a civilian looking at the background of these candidates.
You really like that word now, don't you?
I do. I like the parallel word.
There we go. Go out and enjoy parallel parking this weekend. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Bill Panos. He's looking at me funny. We're going to get out of here. I'll see you Monday morning.
Bye.